one of the things that I didn't really, that I sort of hypothesized, is that many of the developments that today are just all pervasive in every media outlet, in every kind of magazine, whatever the segment, that those were pioneered in the context of women consumers in the women's magazines. And what's interesting is that you can actually see the women's magazines kind of fighting over the issue with like Mademoiselle magazine in the 1930s was among the first to name, to say, yes, go out and buy Pond's cream because it will really improve your face. Before that time, a magazine like Ladies Home Journal would say, write me and I will send you a booklet with advice about brand names. And women would, you know, thousands and thousands of women would write asking for these booklets, which would say, use Pond's cream, it will really improve your face. I don't see, you know, I haven't done a systematic search of magazines that were directed more towards a male reader. I have looked pretty closely at Esquire and at Fortune, and Fortune, of course, is really doesn't, in this time, in the 1930s, didn't deal with sort of men's grooming habits, per se. And you don't see it. You just don't see it this early. So it takes a while for that, the idea of puffing products, of shilling, in a sense, seems much more acceptable when it comes to women than it does for men.